This isn't how we normally do cold opens, but I just want to address the audience directly and apologize for not having an episode ready on Sunday like we normally release our episodes.
We understand that there's a really, really strong chance that none of you realized that we release our episodes on Sundays.
But we realize that.
Yeah.
And we hope that you will realize that, I guess.
Yeah.
And so not doing that is bad for you to realize that.
Right. And so we just felt terrible for the past few days.
We've been in a slough of depression.
A what?
A slough.
What?
Slough. S-L-O-U-G-H, I think. Slough. It's like a depression. It's like a low.
That sounds like the word slough to me.
Slough as in like when you're playing cards.
Yeah, yeah.
And you slough off a card.
Yeah.
No. I know it from the term slough of despondency, which is a writing term.
Well, I believe you. You got your master's in creative writing. I mean, I only got mine in literacy. The fuck do I know?
Well, that means that I'm able to use words like slough, but you should be able to understand words like slough, right?
I can break it down and tell you how it should be pronounced.
Go ahead.
Slough.
Slough.
Yeah.
The slough of despondency?
Well, no. I mean, I'm not even sure that's a thing.
That's a thing, man.
I believe you because you have a master's in creative writing.
It's a slough. We've been in a slough.
So we apologize for being in a slough.
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi, I'm Matt.
First we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our improvers.
Now it's time for Next At Bat!
You're listening to Next At Bat, a podcast devoted primarily to improvisation, where Philip Simondette, the creator of the podcast, and myself, Matt McLeod, the host, interview and then perform with local Minneapolis and St. Paul-based improvisers and other artists. Improvisation is the art of making stuff up. Nothing is scripted. Nothing in improv has been performed before or will be performed again. Short-form improv is game-based and has been popularized by shows like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Long-form improv is story-based, like a play without a script, and this is the type of improv we will perform on this show. After a short interview, our guests will join us for our version of what is known as The Bat, a forum created by Joe Bill, co-founder of the Annoyance Theater. Traditionally, The Bat is a specific form that is performed in front of a live audience, but with the lights out, to simulate a radio broadcast. There will be several scenes in our bat, with little or no indication of a new scene occurring, though sound effects and human-made music are often used. Without further ado, let me present Next At Bat with Matt and Philip.
So.
Okay.
Well, sir.
I love that.
So we're in the apartment with Lady Friend. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Good.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves real quick?
I'm Beth.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Becky.
Awesome. And
we are Philip Simondette and
Matt McLeod.
There you go.
That's so smooth. All right. So you guys are a pretty new group. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
And you guys formed out of a brave new workshop class that also had a lot of other pretty talented folks in it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. And the way that we actually formed Lady Friend was kind of interesting.
Yeah, so I had been volunteering at Huge for a while, and they were doing improv-a-thon. So I just, I told the class that they should show up, we can sign our class up for the improv-a-thon, and then...
It was just a meeting, it was just like meeting, show up and hear the deal, and then you can submit your group.
Just so we could get all the details, and Becky and Jen were the only people that showed up from our class besides, I mean, and me, but... So then I just asked, like, do you guys want to do a group for the improv-a-thon? And they did. So that was the birth of Lady Friend.
It's interesting because it sounds so random and everything, but we quickly found out that we have a lot in common, that we really are.
Like, we all show up to meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, like, I was talking with Butch Roy, the executive director over at Huge Theater in Minneapolis, and we were talking about how reliability
is actually a huge factor in forming groups. And if you can't rely on the people you're in your group with on a practical basis, then how can you possibly rely on them on stage?
Right.
And do you guys find that to be, you know, I mean, you were kind of joking, but is that kind of the basis of why you trusted each other?
Yeah, I just can't get my words out. But absolutely, I think it was just really interesting that the three of us were so committed on that very first day for this, like, oh, we're here and we want to do this. And that's why we started taking classes in the first place.
Right.
And we were the three from our class that showed up. So we kind of like had our eye on each other, like, oh, you're really taking this seriously. Let's take it seriously together. Mm-hmm. And since we've been working together, my God, it's just so apparent that the three of us are just really on the same boat about where we want to go with improv and our commitment to it. And definitely when we get on stage, I think it allows a lot of trust in each other that we, you know, we just know that we're committed to the ideas and we're not going to let each other fail.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so hard to get out there. And I think one of the things I've really struggled with in my learning improv is just getting out there and performing. And when you're out there with people you trust so much, it's so much easier to stand behind that curtain, and you want to vomit, but you're going to vomit with friends. That's nice. You know, you just,
Yep. It's true though. I mean, if you're going to fail, at least you fail together or you succeed together. And that's part of the cooperative nature of improv. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So did you find, I mean, you guys formed for Improvathon and you formed pretty, you know, not long before the Improvathon happened, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. That meeting, I think, was exactly a month before.
Okay.
And we rehearsed three times or something
before. A few times we did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we got the coveted 4 a.m. slot.
Yeah.
Wow.
For Improvathon. And we
chose
it.
You guys got it?
We chose it, actually.
Oh, my.
Well, I think, yeah. My mindset was that we just wanted to be in,
yeah,
so whatever time was. But yeah, we were like, that's our number one choice, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
No one else is going to choose that, so
yeah,
for sure we'll get
it. And we got it.
And then I think everyone who entered actually got a slot, so. But yeah, I think that was kind of a fun, interesting first show. It was so early in the morning.
My dad showed up for it at 4 a.m. That's a lot of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was pretty neat. We knew we had a diehard fan, that's for sure.
Yeah. So that was the first time that we ever officially had performed as Lady Friend was at 4 a.m. at Improvathon.
How was the audience there? Like, did you have a decent sized audience?
It wasn't huge, but like they were definitely receptive, mm-hmm, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had the Iron audience members that were there. I would say we had, I was surprised. I thought we would be performing to crickets.
There was quite a clan.
Yeah.
It was crickets and two people.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get to go this year, but from what I understand, it was quite just a real positive, fun environment. Everybody was pretty energized and each group was kind of cheering on the next group and stuff like that.
I actually succeeded as being an Iron audience member. So
did
I was
you?
There the whole time.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. I still haven't slept.
Just dreaming about all of those sets. Did you guys have Butch or Jill Bernard hop up with you?
We did. I think we had both of them come up.
Yeah.
Did Butch come up?
Yeah, he did. He came
did.
Up when
come up.
In the scene that I was supposed to be, we were both trying to date him. And he randomly popped up.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then Jill was a gunslinger, I think.
Yeah.
Which was so fun. Came
that
in
was
on
really
the chair.
Fun.
Yeah.
That was really exciting. And I think, too, we were so nervous because it was our first time performing. I mean, it was really one of our first times performing anyway. And our first time performing as Lady Friend. And so that when you get a chance to bring one of the big dogs up with you, it's kind of like intimidating. But, man, they just make everything so comfortable and they're so easy. They're just...
Their eyes are so intense in those scenes. When I looked at Butch and I looked at Jill, I was like, wow, you are listening to everything I say so hard. And that really, I learned so much just in that 1 second when Butch was staring at me going, what are you going to say next? I was like, wow, it's really cool. Oh, I'm on stage. Shoot, perform, keep performing, go. Okay, I'm back. But it was a neat experience to have that first performance include them.
Mm-hmm.
Being that you guys had a couple of weeks together and you had been in classes and at Brave New Workshop for, was that level 3 you were in at that point?
That would have been 2.
2?
Yeah, I think 2.
So really you had known each other for about 3 months, maybe a little longer, 4 months?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
And like when you know people in those classes, it's like barely at all. You see them in class, and then
you have
maybe
a beer
at,
afterward.
Yeah, maybe at the mill.
Go to the Green Mill afterwards.
But, yeah, I really didn't know much about either of them when we first started. Yeah. So.
And now you're trapped.
Yeah.
But man, we really lucked out.
Yeah, we did.
I don't know how we did it. It's like magic, kind of. Because we, so we, you know, the whole thing formed at that meeting because we were the three that showed up. And we chose a name later that night and it just like clicked. Lady friend, yep, that's it. That's us. And we were just like, let's hope for the best. Let's hope that this goes somewhere. And I like couldn't have picked two better women to have done this group with because the three of us have this chemistry. They're both just with their arms crossed, just saying no. They're like, who is she? No, I'm kidding.
Good thing you can't see it, audience.
Beth has a noose around her neck. No, but the three of us have such a chemistry that is so unique that I couldn't have chosen like a better group. To me, I think that the three of us work so well together on a personal level. We have so much in common. We had no idea until we started just lady friend rehearsals, and then we were like, oh my God, you're a nerd too? So am I.
Yeah.
And just really became so close. So, guys are like my best friends.
Aww. So sweet.
You guys don't just mind leaving the room for a minute.
No, that's fine.
We're just going to hug. We're just going to
just going to have a big group hug.
And we're back.
Okay.
How long did it take for you guys to build a level of trust on stage? I mean, because that's hard. I mean, even if you are friends, but to kind of get outside of yourself and to build that level of trust where you're comfortable working together.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, we've only had 5 stage performances.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, I feel like we had a level of trust right away. I mean, just from our rehearsals and stuff. But it's for sure in our last show, it felt the most apparent to me that we started doing weekly rehearsals and gotten a coach. So we just like are around each other all the time. And that just, I'm just going on and on about it.
No, I think that's true. And I think our trust is largely built. We're kind of growing up in the improv world together. So I think a lot of our trust is kind of built on the discoveries that we're making together.
Sure.
And if you step out on that limb or that ledge together and you know that you're all going to fall and you take that risk together, it's a lot easier to then go, we didn't die, and then say, oh, we trust each other that much more. And then we take bigger risks and do crazier things and make nuttier references and everybody follows along. And so,
yeah, I've definitely noticed an evolution with us. Because especially coming straight out of class, you have these certain rules you feel like you have to follow, or your class has been doing montage for 2 semesters or whatever. And so you feel like that's all you can do. That's all you're allowed to do is what you've just learned.
And
it's hard to kind of figure out what you're supposed to be doing or what you're made to do. Mm-hmm. And I think the three of us figured out really quickly that we're not meant to do that. And we always seemed to fight against it, but then kept trying to be like, nope, guys, get back into that montage. And it was like, why? Why are we trying to force ourselves into this form that doesn't work for us? Mm-hmm. And I think we're still realizing this as we go. We don't have it all figured out yet. But as we're going through this evolution to find ourselves and what our group is, what Lady Friend really is, you know, it's just interesting to see, like, well, that doesn't work for us. This does work for us. And oh, we're never doing that again. And this is terrible. Whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I think in conjunction with kind of the evolution of where we've gone, it's been interesting to see that. So we have a tendency to go really dark really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it since the beginning that we've rehearsed together, that like, I don't know why, because we're all jovial people. Mm-hmm. We're comedic women. But for some reason, we always just do these scenes that are like, mama, I don't want to bury daddy, or whatever it is. Like, we always just go there, and then we're like, pull her out, grab the rope, get her out of there. And we just always do that. So recently we've kind of recognized that and started taking this route of like, we got to inject a little bit more goofy into this. Mm-hmm. And that's taken us on a whole new kind of path of being all these possibilities. I remember, like, the first day, I think we really entered, like, Goofsville. Mm-hmm. Was when we were doing rehearsal, and we, like, started doing this whole scene about saran wrap, and then there was, like, a Reynolds wrap king, and then we were in, like, the plastic wrap castle. I don't even know what it was, but it went to a place that we'd never really gone. Mm-hmm. And I remember the end of that rehearsal, we were just like, that was so fun. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if we did that on stage, I would be proud. And we've been able to say that at the end of every rehearsal since that day. And I think that was a really important discovery.
I think it's just kind of putting the crazy and the wacky in there. We still love those really dark themes. I think we still go there quite a bit, but our scenes are a lot more wacky and out there and a bit more free associative, which is neat. And I think that our brains already do that. And I, you know, you reel it in all your life, and then all of a sudden to have this opportunity to go, oh no, wait, that is good to do. We should be going crazy and inventing nutso Reynolds wrap kings. That makes total sense. This is the place we should do that. And that, I don't know, that's what makes improv. So it's awesome. I love that that's happened for us.
So you guys are coached by Hannah Wideven, right?
Yeah, yes. She's amazing.
She is amazing.
You want to talk a little bit about the experience working with her? How long have you worked with her?
I feel like we've had 4 sessions or something with her.
Really? I think it's been more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe just.
I mean, she's done notes for us too after performances, which is so helpful.
But she is so amazing at picking out exactly like what it is that's stopping you from doing something, or like what the dynamic is. Like, she'll just point something out and then have us do an exercise that works on that. And then, like, I feel like there's something new every week that she's fixing, because she fixes things so quickly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it helps that she's in, you know, she's a member of the Minneapolis, and we...
And Michael Keaton.
And Michael Keaton, but, you know, Minneapolis being like a 3-lady improv group, or 4-lady at some time. But, and I think the 3 of us can easily watch Minneapolis and go, God, how do they do that? Or that seems so seamless, and that's just so natural. And working with her, having her as a coach, is really just amazing. You're like, oh, I get it. I see what you're doing up there. And then she kind of little by little is molding us to be that way as well. Just letting go of those inhibitions and stop with the insecurities, or what is stopping you from getting to that point? Let's do this exercise. Now you can do it.
Yeah. It's like,
thanks, Hannah.
She's molding you into the mini Minneapolis.
Yes.
Mini Minneapolis.
Mini Minneapolis.
The apples are so tiny. No, I think it's important to point out, too, she's really well studied. She's seen a lot of improv, and she has seen so much that it's really interesting to hear her talk about, oh, well, I think that this would affect you because I've seen this be effective for somebody else. She really is just awesome as a coach.
Yeah, and I think that she's helping us kind of realize our potential within ourselves, and that we do stand out from other groups, and that there are other, you know, 3-lady groups out there, and we're all kind of similar in some way, you know, and she's kind of making us find ourselves and helping us kind of define who Lady Friend really is. So it's cool.
There's a lot of 3-person groups in general kind of going right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of groups have been started recently. You guys, Shortcake, Sensitive Men, those are the ones that come to the top of my head. What do you think it is about the number of people that, like, what attracts people to doing what you guys do?
Well, I think on a really basic level, it's scheduling. It's a lot easier to work around 3 people's schedules than 5 people's, than 10 people's. I mean, and that's a very, very surfacey answer, but
that's true, though.
It is really true. And again, back to what we were talking about before, a huge part of improv is the amount of commitment and what you're willing to do and rehearse, and how much time you're willing to spend with each other. Mm-hmm.
Luckily, we're willing to spend like all of our time together. So we usually meet twice a week, once with Hannah and once on our own. And we've met before and just for 4 hours and rehearsed, you know, and then hung out, and then rehearsed some more, and then hung out, and then recorded a video, and then hung out, and then rehearsed. And it was just, I never get sick of you guys.
I saw you guys early when you opened for the Beards, and then I saw you this last time too.
Oh.
And this last time, I mean, it was almost like watching a different group. I mean, you guys were...
In a good way.
We
were so upset we had already invited you to do the podcast.
Oh,
man.
I mean, you guys were fine back when you were with the Beards, but this I guess you were opening for the Beards again this time, but this time the level of trust that was apparent on stage was considerably higher. I mean, multiples higher. Like the watching you guys throw stuff at each other, throw different like big gifts at each other, and like be like, "Here, Beth, you get to deal with this now." And Beth would be like, "Yep, that's what I'm doing." Mm-hmm. There'd be a character called for, and I saw at one point Becky just jumped. There was no hesitation, and you guys are just in sync now. Mm-hmm. So, what do you attribute getting to that point?
Listening to a lot of NSYNC. just again and again.
Sure. Yep. Well, they're so tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the vocals.
And it's as if they have no strings attached. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's so funny that you say that, because I feel like as a group, something's just kind of clicked in us, and mm-hmm. we're a little bit more, and I don't know how to, that's so funny you bring this up, because I was thinking about this today. I don't know how to define it. I don't know what's changed.
Okay.
Besides
but
the
you
fact.
Guys, do you agree that it's shifted?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well,
I think part of it, too, is not only us being more comfortable with each other, but being more comfortable with, like, ourselves on stage. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm okay being a little bit goofier on stage than I was when I haven't been doing improv very long, and I'm kind of a shy person, so just like being more comfortable being goofier on stage, I think, yeah, has kind of started changing how I improvise and how we improvise as a group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of going back to the whole evolution thing, that we're all on this ledge together. Mm-hmm. We're all figuring this out together. We all kind of started with these insecurities, and they're still there, but we're learning how to shed them with each other, and it's kind of awesome to see that happen.
Yeah, that journey has really been very similar for all of us, that kind of getting rid of the stage fright and just going out there and having fun and focusing on each other.
Yeah, like the first couple times, and even still now, we get a little nervous before we go out, but not nearly sure. like we did when we started. Oh my God, like the first time... Even our 4 a.m. performance for Improvathon was like as if Lorne Michaels was sitting in the room. Oh my God, you guys. This is it. This is a big show. And then like opening for the Beards and stuff, you just have these nerves because you're performing in front of your peers, and you're performing in front of other improvisers and an audience that may or may not has ever seen improv before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pressure to like impress and whatever. But you have to just forget all of that, and you're not doing it for those reasons. Otherwise, you'll just get totally stuck in your head when you're on stage. If you're like, did that guy think that was funny? Oh, God, did the Beards like that? I hope they got that joke. It's like, this is not why you're out there.
I think one of the things that may have changed there is that, like, when we first were doing it, or first started doing shows, like, it was, this has to be funny. It has to impress other people. Mm-hmm. Now we're like, trying to impress each other, if that makes sense. Like, we're just doing it for ourselves. We're ladies doing it for ourselves.
That's gonna be our next word. And then we're gonna snap our fingers like that.
Definitely.
Ladies doing it for ourselves.
Yeah. But if I'm like, if Jen and Becky are having fun, mm-hmm. that's all I want when I now, you know? Aww.
So what's up for you guys coming up?
We will be performing, opening again for Bearded Men on March 29th. And we put our name in for the Improv-A-Go-Go lottery. That will be a huge, so hopefully we'll get that and get on stage a little bit more.
Yeah. I think we're going to, like I said, we rehearse every week. So I think our goal is just to keep working at it and... Like, I can't even believe how much we've improved over, like, how short a time we've been a group. Mm-hmm. So I think we want to do more shows and keep working on it.
Well, and we've also started recently recording some videos.
I was gonna bring this up.
We just had a thought and we just did it.
Are you doing one a week? Or
we would like to, yeah. But it's really just... again, that kind of started out of something we just did for us. That was like, let's just I have an idea real quick. Let's just record this thing. Wouldn't that be funny? And so if it ever starts to feel like work, or it ever starts to feel like we're doing it for some sort of audience or whatever, then that's not going to do it anymore. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. So it's really just Lady Friend talks openly and honestly about different topics. You may send in your topic suggestions. You may submit them on the Lady Friend Facebook page at facebook.com/ladyfriendimprov.
Yeah. Actually, that'd be awesome. If you guys have a question for Lady Friend, write it on our page.
Facebook wall. Yeah, that would be great.
We'll answer it.
we'll be sure to put that on our site too.
Yeah, awesome. We have a lot to say about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Fact.
All right, and I'm going to throw this over to Philip for a new segment that we're doing called Philip's Corner.
That's right. This is our newest segment. It's called Philip's Corner. It's Philip's turn to ask questions because Philip isn't good at asking questions.
Yeah.
You'll
this
see.
Is good.
Here
it comes.
Sitting in the
we're
here
ready.
Comes,
is this like a firing line or something?
I'm going to have one question for each of you that I'm going to make up right now.
Okay.
Becky.
Philip.
When you were 17, who was your crush?
It was a very good year. I had a boyfriend when I was 17 that I dated all through high school. And then I went off to college and we broke up. I mean, we're the only couple that did that, but we did. But yes, he was a very nice man that liked history quite a bit and traveled Europe after high school. A renegade, a rogue, a vagabond.
Yeah, because no one does that either.
Travels Europe after high school. No. If we were completely unique, I really
way
had
to denigrate her
an
memory.
Individual
Jesus.
High school experience. Just Philip, how's your corner over there?
This is why you're not allowed to ask questions.
This is my time. This is my corner. Beth.
Yes.
What kind of tree grew in your backyard growing up?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know what that is. I believe it's a maple tree. I tried to climb it once. We have photos of me with like this blue backpack on. By the way, this tree is like super tall, doesn't have like branches that are low enough for anyone to grab. So it's just me trying to go on an adventure. That's my tree story. Was that good? I don't know.
Philip.
Uh-oh.
How did you know that she had a tree in her backyard growing up?
Whoa.
Doesn't everyone have a tree in their backyard?
I hope everyone still remembers.
There's
that
one in Brooklyn.
This is going well. Jen.
Please.
This is why I don't run the rest of the podcast.
You're doing great.
Jen.
Yes.
How many balls can you juggle?
You'll have to be more specific.
Here we go.
Get ready, guys. Beth, close your ears.
All right. I'm plugging my ears.
I never did learn how to juggle, unfortunately, because it was a skill that I always wanted to learn, juggling and American Sign Language. Can you imagine if you could do both at once?
That would be
if
amazing.
If you could
awesome.
Sign while you were juggling? Oh, I'm doing it right awesome. Now. Oh, my God, guys, I've just learned.
Oh,
this podcast
God.
Is incredible.
My life has changed.
But I did... That does remind me that I was involved with the Renaissance Fair when I was in high school,
cool.
the high school era, and I actually was the princess of my Renaissance Club. Whoa. Oh, that's right, boys. I had a Renaissance
She's
Club.
She's a princess.
And I was
the princess.
I knew she was a royal.
And I actually went one year, and I won the Screaming Wench Contest, which was you had to stand in the courtyard in front of the king and queen and their thrones, and you had to yell, "More beer!" as impressively as you could, and I won because I just yelled it as long as I could, like as long as and as loudly as I could.
Oh
and
gosh.
If you guys know me, I have a lot of wind in there because I could just talk and talk, and I'm very loud as well. So I just went out to that, and I'm a performer, so I'm naturally just like know how to fill a space. So I just went out into this field and yelled, "More beer," and it took like 2 minutes. And halfway through, I got like a standing ovation, and I won a plaque. I have a plaque,
oh my
placard,
gosh.
If you will.
Wow.
And it is also on my resume and my website under Special Skills and Words.
Awesome.
That's really good.
Fantastic.
So
that's better than my tree
your question,
story.
Seven.
Right.
Yeah.
I will now hide in my corner and shut up for the rest of the podcast.
Well, those are good. Those got stories out of us. But I would prefer if you put your pants back.
Well, it's not your podcast, so.
So you guys ready to do a bat?
Yeah! Next up,
bats! Helen was a sweet soul, and so today is a very sad day for all of us. I know I'm going to miss her incredible amount. I don't want to waste all your time. Just come and take a peek in the casket and say your final goodbyes.
Oh, she does look peaceful down there. Yeah. Thank you so much, Reverend.
She looks like an angel.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of sweet.
Yes, that's right. The way, I mean, just the way the robes... Oh, my.
I mean, she actually looks like a real angel.
Oh, is that... Are those? Is that her spirit?
Yeah, I've been checking the books up here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
Helen!
God.
Helen!
What? What's the problem? You all looking at me like you've seen a ghost. Instagram.
It's because we're actually seeing a ghost. I tried. Oh, my God, my phone froze.
Helen, this is your funeral. You're dead.
Oh. Well, that's a revelation. Well, you didn't dress up very nice, did you?
This is my best suit,
this
Helen.
This is not your best suit. You couldn't buy a new suit for me?
Marcus, you did look awfully sharp at your birthday last week. And I was wondering why you chose that tie over the tie.
Helen,
you wore.
I got frosting on my good suit, and I had to wear my bad suit to your funeral. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. I knew that. I could tell. So be honest with me, because I got a direct connection to God right now. If I want to go up, I can go up. Watch me. Here I go.
Helen, It is not time for you to come up quite yet, but if you want my advice on talking to these strangers, I would be happy to assist you.
I'm a conduit.
Helen, no. Am I going to hell because I wore the bad suit to your funeral? I need to know.
Yep. Did you have another question,
did
honey?
Did you even ask God?
No, I don't need to. You are. I decided.
Well, this is my first time on stage with my dummy. I'm just going to give a try with being a ventriloquist here. So no judgment. No judgment.
Hey,
get off the stage! Oh, all right. There's a little judgment, but... okay, so here we go. I'm just gonna try not to move my...
I think you're good.
Well, thanks. Thanks, dummy.
You don't know that yet. She's been talking out of her real mouth the whole time. Talk out of the dummy's mouth, dummy.
Yeah, dummy's mouth, dummy.
I can see your lips moving.
Go ahead, dummy. Say something.
Now, look at all these suckers in the audience.
Oh my God! That was amazing. Her mouth didn't move at all.
God, that was amazing. Her mouth didn't move at all. Well, Demi, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, preferably without using any M's or B's.
Unfortunately, my acting is a little wooden.
Oh, that's a funny joke. Demi's funny, man.
Demi's funny, man.
So, Demi, you and I went out the other night. Boy, did we have a good time.
Yeah, we did.
I wonder what they got up to.
Up to? I don't know.
I want to hear more.
I got up to about a yardstick.
Oh, Demi,
that was a good one. You're just a heck of a joker. You got anything else to say to these fine folks out here before our time is up on stage?
Drive safe and be sure to tip your waitress.
Oh, he's conscientious too. What a nice dummy.
Never seen such a fabulous show.
It's amazing. I feel really bad that we doubted her at first.
I know. I'm questioning a lot of things right now. Like, how have I treated people in the past? I was a total bully in high school.
Yeah, you were. You used to give people snuggies.
Yeah, snuggies. That's what we call them. I need to change my life around. This dummy this dummy's affected my life.
Rebecca, are you going to tell the audience members that they're the ones who used to pick on you in high school? Or are you going to make me do it again?
Well, dummy, why don't you tell the audience that they made my life a living hell and I had to go become a cheat-darn ventriloquist? I'm the dummy! You're the dummy! You're the dummy!
We've got to pick it. He's a vampire. He's obviously a vampire. Yes. I won't have him living in my neighborhood.
Absolutely.
I have noticed him buying a lot of sunscreen as well. Hey,
guys, you're being pretty racist. Just because he's just a vampire doesn't mean he can't live in your neighborhood.
Listen, what the vampires have done in the past, in our history, disgusting. Right. Do you want to risk that happening again?
Yeah, well, they're dangerous.
Was it this vampire? Now, he might be a dick, and he might talk in stupid sentences, but has he ever bitten any of you?
Yes.
Hey, guys, what's up? Hey. Oh, look at you guys hanging out by the mailbox. Hi. Hey. Hi, how are you guys? Some weather, right?
Zach.
I mean, he was going through so much sunscreen. It's so bright.
I'm going to need to back up just about a foot.
What's wrong, Carol?
Well, yeah, I've got that restraining order, and I think that you're pushing it. You're pushing the limits. We have a two-foot boundary, Zach. Back it up.
Okay. I'll stand on the other side of Dan. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Well, I was pretty good, but now I'm kind of not so good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tough day at the work job?
No, not so much that.
Family problems?
No, my family's doing real well,
Zach,
actually.
Yeah. We're going to be really honest with you right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zach, it's all going to come out.
Oh.
You make us feel kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah. Zach, it's your vampirism.
Oh, this again.
I'm worried with you around my kids.
I just don't want vamps in my neighborhood, okay? No vamps.
No vamps. Read the sign, Zach.
Look, I went door to door as a registered vampire when I moved into this neighborhood. You all knew it. I thought you were okay with
it. Zach, you attacked Carol.
Yeah?
That's not okay.
It's not okay.
And you got a 2-foot restraining order. Now, I don't know what the judge was thinking, a 2-foot restraining order. That barely covers your reach.
We didn't go to a judge. I just wrote it out.
She's just out of bite range.
I figured that 2 feet would be sufficient.
Out of bite range, sure. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I mean,
sense.
His teeth do grow, but not
That's really
long.
Smart, actually, Carol.
Not that long.
Guys, I'm a vampire. I can't change it. It's who I am, and...
Well, I guess he does have a point there.
And look, I have a right to live here just as much as you do. I mean, I followed the rules. I went door to door, and...
Your skin does look great. I do have to say, you're...
Thank you.
Sparkling you don't... the sun.
Tell me when the letters just come into focus. I'm just going to give you a couple options here. So this is option number one.
Okay.
And this is option number two. So number one?
Yep.
Or two?
Okay. They look exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Okay, let's move on. Let's go on to the next one. That's just fine. Exactly the same.
Doctor, do you want me to inject her with a heroin now?
Yes.
What's that?
Okay. Here, you just sit back and relax. I'll restrain you here.
I don't like needles. Ow.
It should be fine.
Oh.
It should be fine.
All right.
Now just look through the viewfinder.
Okay. All right. I want you to focus back with me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a couple more options. Option number one.
One is good.
Option number. I'm in love with you.
I'm in love with you, Doctor.
I'm sorry, was that number two?
Two's good.
Okay, great. We're getting somewhere now. Let's move on. The next set. When she walks, it's like I had your baby. Two. Option number two.
Doctor, I'm not feeling too good right now.
I'm sorry, what? Too good? Too good?
Two
is good? Okay, we can just move in. Let's go a little bit further here. Let's take this a little bit further.
I'm feeling colors right now.
Honey, you have a really nice bouquet of flowers. Where did you get them?
Okay, I'm gonna be really honest right now.
You only lie when you say that, but go on.
I found them. They were just laying in the neighbor's driveway.
Mm-hmm.
The daffodils were just laying there, and I just put them in a vase and put them on the shelf here, and mm-hmm. just enjoying them.
Okay, now what really happened?
Okay, I'm gonna be really honest. I saw the neighbor dog. It was loose.
Uh huh.
And I went over to get the dog.
Right.
And the dog just had a bouquet in its mouth.
Is that what really happened?
Okay. I'm going to be really honest.
Okay.
A man came to our house, and he rang the doorbell, and he was selling vacuum cleaners, And he just said he thought I was the most beautiful woman in the world. And he just handed me this bouquet of flowers. So I just put them in this vase right here on the shelf. I'm just enjoying them right now.
When did this man come to the store?
I'm going to be honest, like 3 o'clock. It was 3.
Cindy, what really happened? Where did these flowers come from? They're beautiful.
I'm going to be really honest. They grew out of my hands.
Ding dong.
This is Helen. Who took the flowers off my grave?
Honey, do you have an explanation for this nice angel?
Okay, I'm going to be really honest.
Getting married! Going to love it.
I'm so excited.
Carolyn, marriage is da bomb. And look, there's a picture of a bomb.
Oh my gosh.
You're so literal.
I know.
I love it. I'm just so glad that you guys could be here.
Well, we've been best friends since grade school.
Grade school.
I know.
Wouldn't miss it.
And I've worked in your office with you since... Well, at least less. What, guys?
Rachel.
What?
Rachel, we invited you here to be nice.
And Rachel, I didn't never really want you here, so.
But,
guys, you really dropped the whole nice thing really quickly.
Yeah, we did. Well, she's been a pill.
You're just really bringing the whole night down. Like, I'm getting married, okay?
This is the first thing I've said all night.
But you're wearing a shirt that says divorce is best.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of Carolyn on it, and she's stabbing her husband.
You made that shirt just for tonight, and it's making me really upset.
I thought it'd be ironic. I thought it'd be ironic and funny, and you guys find my ironic humor funny.
Come on. It's just making me feel like you just think that my marriage doesn't mean anything. It means something, okay? I'm getting married to the man of my dreams.
She's special, Rachel. I'm sorry that things didn't work out for
you. If he's the man of your dreams, why haven't we ever met him over at the temp agency?
He works really busy hours. He has a really high-pressure job, okay?
Wait, Carolyn, I thought you said that he worked at a carnival.
Yeah, they work like crazy hours.
And I thought you said that he worked in a different state.
He does. He works in Montana.
And I thought you said that he was blind.
He is.
So how can he think you're so beautiful like you always tell us?
Okay, Stevie Wonder once said that he could tell how beautiful a woman was by just touching her face. And that's how he does it.
But, Carolyn, you also said he has no hands.
He uses his stumps, okay?
Step lightning now!
This is probably the best workout I've ever had.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. All you've got to do is move your feet to the music, to the beat. Let's go. Mary Poppins, get it going. Mary Poppins, get it going. Mary Poppins, make it work. Oh, let's go check out my little carpet bag, shall we? Everybody, to the right, to the right, to the right, to the right, and bend, and down, and what's this here? We have a little puppy. Hello, puppy. Now we're going to do the puppy chase. Go, boom, to the boom.
Miss Poppins, I just need to tell you that this has, like, changed my life. I've lost 40 pounds doing this workout.
Yes, I really built up my muscles chasing after those little children all those years, and now I'm bringing it directly to you. Go and tell your friends. Here's a flyer. Here's my card. I'll drop in anytime.
I'm going to invite all my friends. You guys, I have to tell you about this new workout I've been doing.
You look great, by the way.
Yeah, I lost 40 pounds.
Oh. 40 pounds? That's amazing. What kind of workout is it?
Okay, you guys, it's this gym downtown.
Sounds like every other gym downtown.
No, it's not like every... You want?
No, I'm a chimney sweeper. I would not want to do that sort of thing. Guys, sidebar over here, okay?
Okay, yeah.
For real, Felicia?
I can't... Do it again. I can't handle it, guys.
This has got to stop. It's got to stop today. I can't stand it.
No, I know. I mean, I know that it's her house. It's her booze. Like, she's the rich one.
Okay, guys, I brought out the costumes. All right. Barry, you get to be Barry the Bear. Put it on. I know how much you love it. Who wants wine? Chandra?
I've got a chicken costume with your name on it. Literally, the last time you put it on, we wrote your name on it so that we wouldn't get it confused with the other chicken costume.
And let me guess, I get the duck.
You get the duck! Ducky, 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 duck!
Can I get more ducky of that wine?
Who wants wine? Wine, please.
More, please.
Sam, we didn't get your costume. I'm sorry.
Naked again?
You can wear mine. You can wear mine.
You will not give up your costume, Chandra. What are you doing?
I was just thinking.
Put the head on. You'll feel better when you put on the head.
Felicia, you need to stop. We have something to tell you today.
Yeah, Felicia.
First of all, we love your parties. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We love your parties.
The wine is amazing.
I love the wine.
Your
it's the condominium camaraderie.
Is amazing.
Yes.
Everything about this place is great, except for, how do we say this, guys?
Is it the furries thing? Is that what it is?
No.
No?
Well, yes, but no.
Yeah.
It's you. We're going to have to ask you to leave.
We like everything about your parties, except for the host.
Yeah, sorry. Your house is great. Your house is fantastic.
The whirlpool. I just got to say, that thing is huge.
Let's take off this horse head. Feel like an idiot, and I will see myself out.
That'd be great.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Bye.
Hey guys,
that went well.
Yeah, wow.
It did, but do you notice how now that there's nothing to complain about?
This house is huge. It's kind of too big for.
I'm kind of bored.
Yeah,
kind of wish that. We were wearing costumes and having fun or something.
This wine isn't even really that good.
Jamie, you're a pitcher. I understand that you are an integral part of this team, but this diva behavior has got to stop.
Oh, no. I'm not a diva. I just...
Diva would say that.
Jamie, every time you throw the ball from the pitcher's station, and I'm just assuming that's what it's called, I will know for sure when we get out on the field.
You're not a pitcher. You don't need to know the term.
Exactly, Frank. That's why we put you in where the bat goes.
Yeah.
Every time, Jamie, you throw the ball, it is slippery from hand sanitizer, and it is no longer acceptable for you to be such a germ freak. It's affecting your game.
And Jamie, you make me go through and pick out all the yellow M&Ms out of your M&Ms when you're eating them in the dugout. Why can't you eat yellow M&Ms?
Well, because
Jamie,
everybody knows that those are the ones that get the most germs. Everybody knows
What's the problem? No, you're being a diva.
No, it's not me being a diva. I just like to be careful. I used to get strep throat a lot.
And you make me pre-breathe all your air to make sure there's no pollen in it.
Speaking of which...
It looks like you guys are about to make out. Get your heads in the game.
Just giving him his air. Give him some air, guys. Give me some air, and I will give it to him.
Jamie, this hazmat suit, you really can't move. I mean, the last guy that tried to... You were jumping for that short...
I can't see your signs. You can't see him.
But look, I can still throw underhand. Hey, Rocco. Rocco, you don't bat and you don't pitch. What is it exactly that you do on this team?
Well, I thought it was obvious that I'm the team cheerleader.
Duh.
Come on, Jamie. Figure it out.
I thought that's why you had a natural aversion to touching my pom-poms. I didn't realize it was because you didn't know that I had them.
I didn't know that.
Well, then touch them. Touch the pom-poms.
Oh my god, he touched it. Guys, he touched it.
Oh my god. What's that on my hand?
That is disease, my friend. That is disease.
Earlier, I farted into the pom-poms, and something may have come out.
Anthrax!
I was thinking poop.
Nope, definitely anthrax.
Well, maybe she ate a bunch of anthrax earlier, so now it's poop laced with anthrax.
Poop-thrax! Put your hands in the center and we're all gonna yell poop-thrax!
One,
two, three, poop-thrax!
Next up, bats! And that's our show. We'd like to thank Lady Friend. Thank you, Jen, Becky, and Beth for coming on over to the apartment. It was a lot of fun. You can see Lady Friend coming up on Friday, this Friday, the 29th of March, opening up for the Bearded Men at Huge Theater in Uptown Minneapolis on 31st and Lindale. You can go to www.hugetheater.com to learn more about that and many other long-form improv shows going on there. Also, check them out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ladyfriendimprov. Philip?
You can check me out on my YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Philip Simondet. There's songs and sketches and things there, including a series I have called Minimum Fare, which I put improvisers in the back of my car and pretend that it's a cab. I'm also probably going to be in a variety show at Bryant Lake Bowl on Monday at 7 o'clock. I haven't actually got final confirmation, but if I'm not in it, you could go see it anyway. That's fine. Matthew?
And you can see me coming up at Huge Theater on Sunday, April 7th and Sunday, April 14th with Improv-A-Go-Go. I'll be with Cubicle. That's Josh Awind, Max Leibowitz, Kevin Albertson, and myself. And then on Huge Wednesdays at 8 p.m., for all of April and May, 9 weeks, Wednesdays, you'll see me with A Night Out. And that's with me, Joe Halverson, Max Maliga, Tanya Albert, Carolyn Blomberg, and Andy Katzung.
I want to give a special thanks to Josh Awind for our newest segment. Philip's Corner was actually his idea. We'd love to hear feedback from you also. You can send us email at nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com or on our Facebook. Search for Next at Bat on Facebook. We would love to hear from you.
And subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate and review. It helps us out a lot. And we'll see you back here on Sunday, and hopefully every Sunday from now on. We'll have Michael Keaton on the show. That's Butch Roy and Hannah Wideven. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you then.
Also, we looked up Slough, and it turns out that I am right.